Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 15, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, my topic was nutritional genomics. Nutritional genomics is a genetic science that studies the relationship between our genome, nutrition, and health. Nutritional genomics is divided into two related but separate disciplines. The first discipline is nutrigenomics. Nutrigenomics studies the biochemical effects of nutrients on our health, how they affect individual gene expression, and how our genome as a whole is affected. The second discipline of nutritional genomics is nutrigenetics. So there's nutrigenomics and nutrigenetics. Nutrigenetics studies the effect of genetic variations on the interaction between diet and health and how we as individuals respond genomically to food as information. Gene expression is modified by the action of nutrients and bioactive food components, and this modification can occur directly or indirectly. Today, food has been redefined as information that alters cellular function after its consumption. Food sends signals to genes through a process known as cell signaling. We now know that food is loaded with a vast amount of information signals, that a calorie of energy must be judged on the context from which it originates, and that our genome is continually interacting with dietary signals in which certain foods enhance a beneficial, neutral, or negative effect on our genes. The wild card in all of this is epigenetics, in which through the process of methylation, our total environment includes food, air, water, and even our emotions and thoughts can change and does affect how our genes express themselves or not. So think of yourself in an atmosphere on the planet. You exist as an entity, as an individual, and you got all kinds of stuff going on inside. And then you got the outside environment, the atmosphere, entropy, oxidation, radiation, food, thoughts, people, stress, life, all of that. That represents a massive amount of data and information that our senses are designed to pick up. And those signals that are created affect how our genes inside of us are read, how they're expressed or not expressed. This is fantastic knowledge to know, because most of us think that everything's going on inside, that our genes are deterministic and there's nothing we can do to change who and what we are. And that's simply not true. People, life is a sport. And if we play the game according to the rules revealed as constants in physics, chemistry, and biology, this is why it's important to study physics, chemistry, and biology, because that's how you learn what the rules of the game are. Now, if you do know what those constants are, then you can succeed at being well if you obey them, if you obey the constants. The sole objective of the game called life is to get well and stay that way until the game ends. That's what it's all about. Now, my topic on this edition of Clinical Review is minerals and their importance in human nutrition. In addition to the elements of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and sulfur present in common organic molecules, minerals are chemical elements required by all living things. Minerals are classified as one of the four groups of essential nutrients. The other three are vitamins, essential fatty acids, and essential amino acids. Notice that carbohydrates are not classified as essential nutrients. The total number of chemical elements that are absolutely needed for any living organism, including you and me, isn't known. Like, we don't have an exact knowledge. But we certainly know more about mineral health and mineral chemistry than we did 50 and even 20 years ago. Lots is going on in this field. Boron and Strontium, for example, play important roles in human nutrition, but the exact biochemical nature of each one remains unclear. And many others, such as nickel, bromine, and silicon, are under investigation. Of course, some minerals, such as lead and mercury, are extremely toxic. We need to prevent them from doing their dirty deed. All minerals can be toxic if overconsumed for long periods, even those that are essential to life. So something good can become bad. That's true with anything. That's just basic common sense and rationality. This is why we have guidelines for dosage. Essential minerals found in food are vital for the activation of many biological processes in the body. As with vitamins, demand for various minerals can and does vary from individual to individual. And this is a very important concept to understand. Individual biochemistry, individuality. We all need calcium and magnesium, selenium and potassium, but the amounts of each are going to vary. And also in our lives, day to day, they're going to vary for us. A lot of us are simply not getting what we need. CHI Prime Directive, supply your biological demand. For example, everyone needs selenium, but the exact amount required by each individual to optimize cell function, maintain high levels of glutathione peroxidase under stressful conditions, or prevent damage to our joint matrix in sport is difficult to determine. How much does Jack need, the pitcher? How much does Susan, the basketball player, need? Now, the bell curve comes to mind here. The status of individual minerals required by everyone, such as iron or phosphorus, follows a bell-shaped curve. Now think of this in your mind. A line from the left starting to go up high, crosses over, and then it comes down to the right. The top of the bell representing the most favorable amount of a nutrient is between two unfavorable amounts. Not enough at the bottom of the curve to the left. That's not enough. That's insufficient or deficient. And too much of the nutrient to the right. That's toxicity. Too much of a good thing, as opposed to not enough of a good thing. But right in the middle, as the ancient Greeks stated, life and its celebration long-term occurs in the middle of the curve between the two extremes. Yes, it's great to party. It's great to experience extremes. But I'm telling you, if you live in the extreme, you will die before your time. If you take risks that are insane and crazy frequently, it's just a matter of time. And living the way most people do is no different than rock climbers climbing and scaling walls that go straight up. And you wonder, what are they doing? They're crazy and insane, living in the extreme. Well, take a look at your own life, the way you eat, the way you manage yourself, the way you self-regulate your life. You're living in the extreme. In many cases, what I need to do with people to get them back on track is to pull them away from the extreme and get them back into the center. That's where life is lived best. Now, according to the National Health Institute, the reference daily intake, or RDI, for selenium after age 14 and throughout adulthood is 55 micrograms. During pregnancy, a woman needs 60 micrograms, which increases to 70 micrograms if she breastfeeds. Increase the demand, increase the supply. Now, the RDI in Australia is 85 micrograms, and what this demonstrates, for example, is how the scientific community across the board differs in their perception of the data that they're reviewing and utilizing and using to reinforce their position. Selenium functions as a powerful antioxidant and is a structural component of the enzyme glutathione peroxidase. Low levels of selenium are associated with increased cancer rates and cardiovascular disease. Selenium is crucial to thyroid function and is a strong antiviral agent. When combined with vitamin E, selenium can prevent or decelerate age-related cell damage and the hardening of tissues through oxidation, as well as increase antibody formation 20 to 30-fold. Males carry half of their body's supply of selenium in their testicles and portions of the seminal ducts adjacent to the prostate gland. Like zinc, selenium is also lost in semen. The best natural sources of selenium include seafood, whole grains, organ meats, fish, onions, tomatoes, and broccoli. The content in vegetables will vary according to the levels of selenium in the soil, which is why it's important to consume as many organic vegetables as possible. mass-produced commercial produce contains very little selenium. So if it's not in the soil, it's not in the plant. If it's not in the plant or the animal, it's not going to be in you. That's just how it works. Selenium protects cell mitochondria and lysosome membranes from lipid peroxides. Now, here's an amount that's advocated to athletes, to active people, to health-minded people. 200 to 400 micrograms of organic selenium, selenocysteine, or selenomethionine. That's how much is recommended daily as a supplement. That's what you can find in the health food stores. If you go to the pharmacy, you're going to get a much, much smaller dosage. In functional medicine and sports nutrition, the amount of virtually every vitamin and mineral recommended to prevent disease, optimize health, and extend life is greater than what convention advocates. Selenium is a good example. Both conventional and functional estimates are based on the prevention of deficiency diseases such as scurvy or pellagra or beriberi. You know, what does it take to prevent that disease, to protect us from dying of that disease? And that's where it stops. But functional medicine is much more than just treatment or prevention of chronic degenerative disease caused by the lack of the nutrient. We come up with theoretical estimates not only to prevent these diseases, but to prevent long-term degenerative disease, like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, which is killing millions of people, to extend health span, that's a big one, and to compensate for stress and aging every day. Now, this is a big difference in thought and priority. It's a difference in consciousness. Many vitamins work properly only in the presence of certain minerals. Of the 18 to 22 essential minerals, 8 are macro minerals, meaning they are needed in amounts greater than 100 milligrams daily. Examples include calcium, potassium, magnesium. We're all familiar with these. Those that remain are considered trace minerals. They're less well known. Things like iodine, chromium, and molybdenum or vanadium. These elements are required in much smaller amounts, but although the amount of each one required is less than 100 milligrams daily, and often only in microgram quantities, 1 milligram equals 1,000 micrograms. So even though the amounts required are much smaller than some of the other macro minerals, they remain equal in significance in terms of essentiality to our health and biological function. So you've got two humans. One is 6 foot, one is 5 foot. Who's better? You know, they're both human. So in this regard, with the minerals, a pinch of dust is equal in merit to a thimbleful of dirt. Okay, just because one is required in greater amounts doesn't make it better or more important. You've got to understand this when it comes to essentiality. What does a human being, what does a living thing need to be well? Minerals and trace minerals are needed to build and maintain our bones, body fluids, and acid-alkaline balance. Working in conjunction with vitamins, enzymes, and hormones, minerals facilitate thousands of metabolic processes and form the elemental structure from which we are made. Now, I haven't got time to go into all the minerals on this tutorial, but let's take a look at one more, another very important mineral, the element zinc. Zinc is alkaline forming and essential for everyone's good health. Its need was first identified in Iran and Egypt in 1961 in male dwarfs with slow growth and poor sexual development. The original discovery of many vitamins and minerals occur as a result of experts investigating human disease and pathology. The disease attracts attention. We want to know what causes it, and that leads us to the discovery of new data, new information. In this case, vitamins, minerals that are essential to us. Worth mentioning here for all the grain and wheat lovers out there is that the phytates, phytic acid, in bread and grains bind to zinc and block its absorption, and the grains themselves contain virtually no zinc. So if you eat a lot of bread, bagels, muffins, pasta, you're blocking the uptake of zinc from other sources. You're also getting no zinc, so you end up very likely zinc deficient. Zinc has to be present in the pancreas to produce insulin, and adding zinc to the diet helps prevent insulin resistance. It's also important in protein metabolism and vital for our sense of taste and smell. Zinc regulates hair and body growth as an antioxidant in the form of superoxide dismutase, or SOD, that strengthens our immune system and protects us from infections. Zinc also speeds the healing of wounds and burns. Zinc enhances the functions of the prostate and the mobility of sperm. It's essential for protein synthesis and governs the contractility of muscles. It is also important for blood stability and for maintaining the body's acid-alkaline pH balance. Zinc is found mainly in shellfish, most animal tissues, liver, legumes, whole grains, corn, pumpkin seeds, and onions. Best known sources are oysters, hence the saying, eat oysters, live longer. Zinc is crucial to growth. It's a cofactor for alcohol dehydrogenase, which works in the liver to detoxify ethanol and methanol, and also for lactate dehydrogenase, which is needed to convert pyruvate to lactic acid during anaerobic energy production. Adding zinc to a zinc-deficient diet can double testosterone levels and optimize human growth hormone function by supporting the binding of growth hormone to its receptor on muscle and bone cells. Zinc can also improve growth rate by increasing IGF-1 levels. Zinc is known to replace body cells at a rapid rate. For the athlete, this facet of zinc is crucial for repair and recovery, especially for the intense trainer or competitive athlete. Zinc is also involved in the enzyme pathways essential to the production of testosterone and is connected to the proper action of thymic hormones and human growth hormone. Thymic hormones are secreted by the thymus gland, which is a specialized lymphoid organ of the immune system. White spots on the fingernails may reflect low zinc status, as does poor wound healing. Zinc deficiency is a contributing factor in male infertility, hence the saying, here's another one, zinc is to a man what iron is to a woman. So think how important iron is to women, not only for normal function, but to compensate for menstruation. Also zinc for the men, not only for normal function, but to compensate for what you lose in your semen. Okay, so you lose it, you got to put it back in. It's just so straight up and forward. But a lot of us are losing more than we're putting back in. And that explains a lot of our issues. Zinc regulates the activity of approximately 80 different enzyme systems in the brain. Its deficiency and or dietary insufficiency, two different things, deficiency and insufficiency. They both correlate with eating disorders, alcoholism, macular degeneration, and male infertility. Athletes plagued with bulimia or anorexia nervosa should consider zinc as a mainstay of therapy. Zinc lozenges are useful for treating a sore throat and can prevent the migration of infectious pathogens into the lungs and respiratory tract. Best forms of zinc supplements include picolinates, arginates, citrates, and gluconates. Minerals are useless if they are not absorbed. 15 to 30 milligrams per day is a good amount to take in supplement form. 100 to 200 milligrams can be taken for short periods of time, say 3 to 5 days, when treating an infection. And when the infection goes away, you just return back to normal levels. The bottom line for minerals is that we need them, and they're getting harder and harder to get. As we age with them in short supply, we slowly weaken and eventually begin to fall apart. Make sure you take a good, well-rounded mineral supplement daily, as minerals are often overlooked, disregarded, and even forgotten. When Dr. Michael Colgan released his Sports Nutrition Guide in 2002, I immediately noticed that his subtitle read as follows: Minerals, Vitamins, and Antioxidants for Athletes. Protein aside, he said, minerals come first. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Lee Swanson, American naturalist and founder of Swanson Health Products, which distributes over 26,000 health products worldwide. If you think the pursuit of good health is expensive and time-consuming, try illness.